Three scripture readings this morning. The first one is Psalm 136, and then the second one will be in Philippians chapter 1, and then Colossians chapter 1. So Psalm 136, and then if you want to mark Philippians 1 and Colossians 1, we'll be reading out of those as well. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. Then in Philippians chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And then in Colossians chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 3 through 14. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time that we have this morning to read your word and to think about it and to remember the great things that you've done for us. Most of all, as we've just gone through sharing together the Lord's Supper, we're thankful for Jesus, for his willingness to follow your plan obediently, to die for our sins as a sacrifice so that we could have the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. We're thankful, God, for all the spiritual gifts you've given to us. We're thankful for everything that you've done for us. We ask that you'd help us to remember those things, that you'd help us to be people who are thankful, and that you'd help us to continue growing in thanksgiving as we reflect on and think about all that you've done for us. We thank you for Jesus. We offer this prayer in his name. Amen. Several years ago, I read a book, and I think maybe it was an article or something, and the premise of the article was that we should be people who are more thankful than we typically are. And one of the strategies that was discussed in the article was to keep, I think they called it a book of blessings or something, and the idea was to write down three things every single day at the end of the day that you've been thankful for that particular day. And the idea was to keep on your mind the things that are happening in your life or to you that you're thankful for. And so I said, that's great. I'm gonna do that because I needed to try to be more positive in my life, and I wanted to focus on the things that I was thankful for. And so I sat down to do it the first day, and I had trouble coming up with three things. I don't know if anyone's ever kept that. Has anyone ever kept a book or a list like that before? It sounds easy, but it can be a little bit more difficult, especially because it'll highlight for you really how thankful you are or how unthankful you are in your life. And I found at that time that I was quite a bit more unthankful for things than I had wanted to be. And then it just becomes a discipline. It becomes a habit of doing it every day. So I think I kept at it for a few days and then forgot about it. And I don't even know where that book is anymore. But in our lives, how much time do we give thinking about things that we are thankful for? And how important is thanksgiving and thankfulness to us in our lives? And probably if most of us sat down, since I'm talking about it right now, it's probably running through your mind different things that you're thankful for. Many of us would have many physical things that we're thankful for, whether it's family, whether it's health, whether it's things that we have, things that we've been given. Bill talked about at the table talk about things that we have to remember people by, but many, many times those things will prompt reasons for us to be thankful for those people having been in our lives. There's a reason that we hold on to things that remind us about people. It causes us to give thanks for the positive things that they've done for us or the positive way that they've affected our lives. But when we stop and think about what Thanksgiving does for us, it reminds us that Thanksgiving is and being thankful is really a response to something that somebody else has done first for us. And when we think about that notion in light of the scriptures that I read for us this morning, I want us to realize that a biblical understanding of thanksgiving and a biblical understanding of being thankful is a way of helping us to remember that God has done something for us first, and then he calls us to respond back to him, and that response is thanksgiving. We're thankful in response to what God has already done for us. And that's how thanksgiving works. That's how being thankful works in a biblical sense. God acts first, and then we respond back to him. But that's how it is for us all the time. If you think right now about something that you're thankful for, your being thankful for that is a response to what happened to you first. Whether it was what somebody did, or maybe somebody said something to you that was really positive or helpful, or they gave you something by which you could remember them. And you're thankful as a response. And so when we look at the psalm that I read, Psalm 136, you probably noticed that refrain that ran throughout it. In fact, this psalm is probably unique, that you don't have to read psalms very much. You can just look at it on the page and realize that this psalm is formatted differently than virtually every other psalm in the book. It's composed of a line, which is really a fragment of a sentence. It's not even a complete thought. I'm in a complete sentence, and then interspersed through each of those lines is this recurring refrain, his love endures forever. And it's a psalm of thanksgiving, but it's also a psalm that reminds them, and this becomes the basis for their thanksgiving. It's a psalm that reminds them of the love that God has for them and of how this love was not just a one-time thing or an occasional thing, but it was a persistent, ongoing love that endured forever. And to remind them of that and the reasons for which they have to give thanks, the writer of this psalm begins at the very beginning with who God is and with God's own character, and he runs throughout the entire history of Israel into the present day and the care and ongoing provision that God has for them as a way of reminding them, this is how God loves you. This is how God has loved you. This is how God will love you, and so give thanks to him. So it's good for us to be reminded over and over again of the things that God has done for us. And I don't want to spoil the second half of the sermon, but when we get into the passages I read in the New Testament, it's the same thing. Paul has heard something about their faith. He's heard something about the things that God has done for them as their faith is growing and they're becoming stronger Christians and the church is beginning to share the gospel with others and bring others into the kingdom. And Paul hears about all of these things. He hears about their spiritual growth and he hears about the work of God among them and he gives thanks. And for Paul, giving thanks and being thankful has to do with that recognition of God's work in their lives, in the life of the church. As they're growing stronger in their faith, Paul says, I give thanks. He stops and he writes the letter. He writes a prayer to them at the very beginning of the letter because that's how important it is to him. It's almost like that's the first thing that comes to his mind when he hears about their spiritual growth. He stops everything he's doing to give thanks. And I was reminded in working on this sermon about how difficult it can be to be people who are thankful. I mean, sometimes we can stop. Maybe if something really big or really important happens to us or somebody really gives us a timely word that builds us up and we can be thankful in that moment. But this psalm in particular reminds us to reflect on what God has done for us, not only in our own lives, but in the history of the church and the history of his people, to look back at the care and provision and the way that God has interacted with his people and to be thankful and to let that feeling an understanding of thankfulness permeate our lives so that we are people who remember God regularly and give thanks for him. And so he begins the psalm, the writer does, by saying, give thanks to the Lord. And that's the command, if you will, is to give thanks. And the first reason given for that is simple, for he is good. The Lord is good. And sometimes that sounds like a generic statement to us. Of course, we know the Lord is good, but how? That's why he begins with that refrain, his love endures forever. That's how we know the Lord is good. We look back at all the ways in which his love has endured forever across history. And that's why the writer repeats that over and over again. And many writers of commentaries and such or teachers of the Bible think that the way the psalm is written is that it was when it was to be read in a congregation that the leader would read the first line and that refrain, his love endures forever, would be recited by the congregation as a whole afterwards as the whole group remembered all the ways in which God's love endures forever. But we're reminded over and over and over and over and over and over again, 26 times, about the love of God. The enduring love of God. The love of God that is always there. It's always manifested. He's always with his people. He has never left his people. He has always been there caring for and providing for his people. But before the writer even gets to that, he gives a couple more ways. He reflects on God himself, on the character and nature of God as being something about the love of God that should provoke thankfulness among us. He says, give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. He calls God, he's supreme. There is nobody above him. The God that loves us is the one God. He's God of gods. He's Lord of lords. There is nobody who stands next to him. There is nobody who stands in comparison to him. It's God. And it's his love that endures forever. His love for us that endures forever. And maybe you noticed as we went through this that there's three historical things that this writer then moves throughout to show the love of God and to call them to thanksgiving. And the first one is creation. So we look at in verses 4 through 9 of this psalm, the work of God in creation is a reason for these people to give thanks. It's a reason for us to give thanks as we look at the power of God and the glory of God manifested throughout creation. To him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, and the moon and stars to govern the night. This is a God who has the power to create, to call into being, to set things in place. This is a sign of his love. He created a place for us to live. He did it. He didn't just come along and find it there already and say, why don't you guys go play over there. He created it. The God of gods and the Lord of lords put his power at work to create for us as a sign of his enduring love that is forever for his people. And then the writer moves from there to that significant moment in Israel's history, the Exodus, when he brought his people out of Egypt. And when we look in verses 10 through 16, we find, again, the great power of God. This psalm is about the power of God and the action of God. And we see God's love manifest not just in God's own desire about what he wants for his people, but in the things he does for his people. He creates. He sets the earth in place. He creates lights for day and night for his people to be taken care of. And now he reminds them, this is what God did for you when you were in Egypt. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt. He brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. He divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. And he reminds them over and over again that these are things that God did for his people as a sign of his enduring love for them. So give thanks. And what he said in the beginning when he said give thanks, he comes back to it at the very end and reminds him again to give thanks, because this psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. The action of God on our behalf, and it's redeeming action, it's saving action. God rescued his people. He redeemed them, even though Pharaoh and his army weren't so lucky, because God did that for his people. And then he reminds them of their journey throughout the wilderness and the conquest of the promised land in verses 16 through 22. He reminds them that it was God who led his people through the wilderness. It's not just that God sent his people into the wilderness. He led his people through the wilderness. He struck down great kings. Notice that the writer says it was God who struck down the great kings. Not the army of Israel. Not the leaders of Israel. It was God. It was God who went ahead of them, leading them through the land, clearing out the enemies that were in the way so that the people could actually occupy the land that God brought them to. It was God who did these things and gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel. His love endures forever. All of these things, it's the action of God on behalf of his people. God acting first, God taking the initiative, God going out of his way to do these things for his people so that they would have a place to live, so that they could be redeemed, so that they could go into the land he promised them. All of these things are a sign of his love. And then he reminds them of his continuing and ongoing provision for them today. When he says, he remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. This is probably a time when they're in exile and they're about to come out of exile, or they've already come out of exile. That time when we're challenged the most and we feel like we're in that valley, we're down, we're low, we feel like we're in a low estate. Where's God? We need to remember what God has done for us. This is why we cultivate thanksgiving in our lives, because all of us, from time to time, every single one of us, we're going to find ourselves in that low estate that the writer's talking about here. We're going to feel as though we're in our own personal exile. We're going to feel as though there's some distance between us and God. We're going to feel as though, where's God really at? Is he really here? Does he really love me the way that I thought he did? And the writer writes this whole psalm to remind them that in those moments, God has never abandoned you. His love endures forever. And he takes us all the way back and says, remember everything that God has done for you, and give thanks to him, for his love endures forever. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I've read those passages in the New Testament, Philippians and Colossians. You probably noticed that both those prayers began with thanksgiving. That's what Paul modeled. That's what he taught. That's how he led. He was thankful for what God was doing in the churches and among those believers. For their spiritual growth, he gave thanks. For the growth of the church, he gave thanks. For the spread of the gospel, he gave thanks. For Paul, when he saw the work of God in action, he gave thanks. Because Paul knew, he knew this psalm. He knew the love of God that endures forever. He knew that God is actively at work among his people, leading them, guiding them, making them stronger, making us stronger as we remember the work of God, as we remember what God has done, as we think back to the creation, to the way God led his people out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the promised land, gave them the land, never abandoned them. And then when all hope seemed lost, the New Testament begins, when Jesus comes on the scene as a baby, and that baby grows up into a man who lives a humble and obedient life under the direction and will of God. And that obedience led him to the point of death on a cross, because Jesus was God's plan for us to have the forgiveness of sins when he died for our sins on that cross. And then he died and he was resurrected, and then he ascended to be with the Father. And we have an entry point now into the forgiveness of sins when we're baptized into the name of Jesus. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive the gift of eternal life. We're added to the church. We receive the Holy Spirit. And then we wait for his return. But in the meantime, while we wait, we should remember the love of God. We should never lose hope. We should never give up. We should stay encouraged and faithful, because Scripture testifies over and over and over again about the love of God that endures forever, and let us give thanks to him. If you're here this morning and need to respond to this message in any way, or maybe even to be baptized into the name of Jesus, begin that journey of faith, I encourage you to let us know what your needs are by coming forward as we stand and sing.